All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We're sitting here at Wadapalooza 2016, backstage at the Fit Aid booth. Guys are kind enough to give us a semi-quiet area, and we stumbled upon Colin Porter.
What's going on, guys?
Not too much, man. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
So in case you guys out there don't remember Colin, he is a two-times CrossFit Games athlete from the land down under. And one of Instagram's most popular bachelors. Still a bachelor, right?
Yeah.
I think it has something to do with that Instagram video that CrossFit just reposted of you dancing right before you hit that big snatch.
Oh, yeah. That's gone, like, ridiculous, hey. I mean,
Is that a pretty standard, like, pre-lift routine for you?
Yeah, to be honest, like, I was just filming lifts, and me and my buddies, when we're lifting in the gym, I mean, you guys would know, you spend hours in the gym some days. So to kind of just keep yourselves ourselves entertained, like, we just muck around, we listen to anything from, like, hard out electro to classical music to Beyonce to, like, 80s mixes and just have a good time while we're in there trying to muck around and keep the mood light. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I was just like, I wonder if I can just nail this snatch. I do like some stupid little dance and then just work the snatch into it. And then I got it. And it was actually one of the better snatches I've done in my life. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can post this video.
It was so like a perfect combination, right?
What's that?
Perfect moves, perfect snatch.
Oh, I wouldn't call them the perfect moves, but the snatch was on point. That's for sure.
I like that though, man. I think, at least for the people that are fans of yours or fans of CrossFit, they can say, okay, this is lighthearted. You know, you don't have to be, like, so intense going into a max lift in order to hit it.
Well, I think when I started CrossFit, like, I kind of noticed that there was this, it's had this really kind of, like, hard out sort of, I wouldn't say aggressive, but, like, you know, hyper-masculine subculture around it. And I've always just been, like, a kickabout dude. Like, I like to go out and party. I like to have a good time. I, you know, have a really balanced lifestyle. And so I kind of thought one of my early training partners was pretty the same, Matt Healy. He was a really good athlete from Oz as well. And, like, we would just kick around and have fun while we trained. And that was always my kind of, like, you know, I guess CrossFit worked its way into my lifestyle rather than it becoming my life. And, you know, that even carries over so much as just to mucking around in the gym. You know, I go in there just to have fun. Like, if it's not fun, what's the point, right?
Yeah. I got to ask, though, you know, you're having a good time, you know, you're lifting, whatever, but do you have the other side where you get super into it and you just dial it in? And
Absolutely. If I didn't have, like I said, it's all about the balance. Like, there's other sessions where I'll go in and I'll have no music and I'll just come up with an absolutely brutal workout and just go, right, you're going to have to get through this, set myself. I try to, like, structure so every part of my workout has, like, a parameter to it. So it's not just like 15 calorie assault bike. It's like 15 calorie assault bike, but you must keep the watts at over 450 the whole time. And it's not just like 15 deadlifts. Okay, you must do it in maximum two sets. Yeah. So stuff like that. So I'll create this horrible workout with these horrible parameters that I know will really, really push me. And I can really zone in like that as well. But yeah, I think you got to have both sides of the coin.
Do you have a coach that helps you do that, like make those micro goals within your workout, or is that just something that you've come up with that works for you?
With all the micro goals and stuff, that's all on me. I think I've always been pretty in tune with my body and pretty kind of like switched on when it comes to knowing how to get the most out of my sessions. Particularly the last 12 months, I've been so busy with travel and other projects and stuff like that that I haven't necessarily had, you know, hours and hours a day to spend in the gym. So I've kind of got to be as productive as possible. So I've kind of, you know, really switched on to trying to make those micro goals to get the most out of those sessions.
Give us a little background on you. Like, what other types of sports did you play growing up? When did you get into CrossFit? That kind of stuff.
So I grew up, I played rugby union, which is pretty popular down in Australia.
Shocker.
I played that to like a, I guess like a semi-professional level. And I kind of stopped when I was about 18 because I was working as a lifeguard. And so I also competed in, like, surf lifesaving, which is lifeguard competitions as well. And so I think the two of those were really, really good sort of a background to come through for CrossFit. But I actually studied journalism at university, and I was working as a journo full-time when I first started CrossFit. I'd known what CrossFit was for about a year, but I was kind of waiting till I had a full-time job before I could afford to really start at a CrossFit gym. So, yeah, I got my first full-time job, and then within 7 months of working there and training, I kind of made the shift to part-time work in the, I guess, creative industries and switched out to, you know, starting to coach CrossFit and stuff like that. And a couple of months later, qualified for my first regionals, which is about 7-8 months into doing CrossFit. And then, I placed 10th there and decided I wanted to give it a good nudge. And so ended up like opening my own gym in Sydney, CrossFit Play. And it's been chopping along ever since. But I've been kind of really focused on, I guess, for the next year after that, I was really focused on, you know, trying to get to be the best athlete as possible. I didn't really know what level that was necessarily going to be because I was still pretty new to the sport. But then I made it to the games that year. So that was 2014. And then I kind of thought, all right, if I really put the foot down, I can kind of, you know, maybe give this a nudge. And yeah, then obviously qualified for the games again last year, 2015. Unfortunately, didn't have the result that I wanted at the games. So that's just kind of fired me up to go again this year.
Dude, that's really cool. The journalism background, do you still have a need to kind of let that outlet or, you know?
Absolutely. I spend so much time traveling. So I spend a lot of time on planes. And I, you know, I live on my own. I've lived on my own for a while. I travel on my own most of the time, if not all the time. So I spend a lot of, I have a lot of sort of downtime with just me and my thoughts. And I generally try to use, I guess, writing as an outlet for that. Like I have, I can't even count how many little essays and whatnot, stories from my travels or just my thoughts and stuff that I keep on my computer or in the notes section of my phone. And yeah, it's a really cool just way that I can express myself. And even if, you know, I never publish that anywhere, it's still just, you know, memories for me articulated however I choose to articulate them, I guess, at that time.
If you guys subscribe to the BTB newsletter, you might see some of Khan's writings in the future.
Yeah, you come on to the Beyond the Barbell newsletter. Do it. Put your email address in now.
I like that. That was good. Smooth.
Yeah. All right, so you have a little bit. There's more to you than just the athlete. I think that's nice to hear. I'm looking at you now. You got some tattoos on your body, but not like entire sleeves of artwork. You're less of a, I don't know, like a mural as like little pieces of art, I would say.
I don't know if I'd call all of them art. Some of them are pretty dumb. But I have about 17 little tattoos scattered around my body, each of which has like a, each of them has a story, even if it's a tiny little tattoo. Like they all have their own story. And I've got them all over the world, all different places, at all different times in my life to reflect different things that I guess I'm either going through or different things that I'm kind of passionate about at that point in time. And they can be incredibly deep or as superficial as I was really drunk one night in Thailand with my best mates and we were having such a sick time, we just got a tattoo. And people go, that's so dumb. But you go,
which one is
at
that?
The same time, it's on my hip. It froth. Says froth and it has a little smiley face and a little wave. So I was like surfing heaps at the time with my buddies and we were in Thailand and just had a sick night. We're like, let's just get tattoos. And so we were just having such a great time. I thought we'll get a tattoo that reflects that.
That makes me happy because I always throw that out there to my buddies. Hey, let's just go get tattoos right now. And they're like, no. And that's the end of my story.
My first tattoo,
like, man,
come on. Bro, my first tattoo ever was in Thailand as well. And my best mate, who's an asshole, Byron, he was like, I'm going to get my lip pierced. If I get my lip pierced though, this is like 2 in the morning, you have to get a tattoo. So I don't know if that's fair, bro. He's like, no, trust me. If it's a lip piercing, man. It looks stupid. Get a tattoo. I was like, all right, I'll do it. And he's like, what are you going to get? And I was like, fuck, I don't know. I'd watched the movie Dude, Where's My Car? On the plane over it. And so I got Shibby tattooed on my foot.
Shimmy?
Yeah, and he got his lip piercing, which he no longer has.
Right, which he took out.
Exactly right. And but then he kind of felt bad, so he went and got a bunch of dumb tattoos on his foot before the end of the trip to make up for it. So we both kind of like, yeah, got inked up for this.
How long did the lip piercing last?
I don't even know if it lasted the 2 weeks we're in Thailand. This was like day two of the trip. I honestly don't think it made it past there.
Yeah, that's not a good friend.
Yeah, total asshole.
Yes, he is.
So are you going to find a place to get a tattoo while you're here in Miami?
I don't know if I'm going to have time while I'm here in Miami.
Maybe I should just throw it out there right now. Hey, guys, we should go get tattoos.
Ben's trying to get a tattoo.
We just all go get tattoos.
Yeah. I might get one. I think I'm going to head up to New York after this. So I got a couple in LA when I was there, but I've spent a fair bit of time in New York, and my buddy that I was just talking about actually lives there now. So I think I might get one up there because I do spend a bit of time there. So I don't know what I'll get, but actually I have a few different things that I want to get, but I'll figure out which one I think is most appropriate for New York.
So you travel a ton just because you like to travel and be on an adventure, right? And you have this journalism background. You own your gym. You seem like you're, I don't know, at least a little bit ambitious. Like, do you have any, like, projects or plans that you are kind of waiting to take hold of once your competitive career kind of slows down?
Yeah, I think, like, I've always sort of had the goal of finding myself some line of work that allows me to travel, because I get so much enrichment out of traveling. So the first job that I had in the journalism world was for a travel company. I was writing for them. Unfortunately, I didn't get to travel very far with them. I was actually only working on like a guide to Sydney, so my hometown. I kind of got tripped there. But it's always kind of been one of my goals, and just being an athlete has really opened the doors to a lot of travel opportunities for me. For example, being in Miami right now. So I guess, you know, I want to continue to travel. I want to continue to see the world. But I've always had a massive interest in, I guess, the charity and not-for-profit sectors. And, I'm kind of in the process. I have an agent back home, and we're kind of in the process of hopefully putting together some sort of, like, fundraising event, like a charity event back home. And I guess I want to use any and all, I guess, profile I can build for myself to potentially give back, because being an athlete's incredibly rewarding, but it's kind of only rewarding to you. Like, you have your successes as an athlete, and that ultimately the biggest person that benefits from that and gets the biggest kind of, like, you know, pat on the back from that is you. But I've always wanted to find a way to maybe use that to give back, I guess, in some way, shape or form. And it's just kind of figuring out exactly how to do that at the same time as juggling, still trying to be that athlete and, you know, running. I run not only my gym, but I have an online coaching business as well. So I program for people all around the world. And so I have, like, these two full-time jobs on top of trying to be an athlete, on top of traveling, on top of trying to come up with all this sort of stuff. So it's just trying to find the time of day.
Yeah, man. Well, that's good forward thinking. Being an athlete in any sport, you know, it is a finite career. It's going to end at some point. And if you don't use your profile, as you call it, or your platform to build something else that you can continue on, like causes, or like if you start a fundraiser that's gets big in Sydney, you can do that every year as long as you want to do. It doesn't matter if you're still competing or not.
Yeah, that's the goal. And I think I had a bit of a kind of wake-up call this year, sort of at the games and then in the months following. You know, I went into the games feeling like I was in the best shape of my life. Like, I was ready to give it a red hot go. And then after Murf, I just attacked that workout with such a poor strategy and just beat myself up so bad in that I was left kind of licking my wounds for the rest of the weekends. And then for months and months afterwards, to the point now, like, you know, my knees are still jacked. I have ongoing issues with my elbows and my wrists.
From that workout.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily just from that workout. It's probably doing that and then not giving
fully,
myself
yeah.
adequate time to recover and stuff like that. But, you know, I was so beat up after the games, and then kept trying to push. And I kind of had this huge realization where it wasn't like this one moment, but over the course of the months following, I had this realization that, you know, I'm not invincible. My body is, you know, I never had a catastrophic injury before, and all of a sudden I couldn't squat, and I had a tear in my patella tendon, and everything was just going haywire. I was barely training three times a week. And I kind of realized, you know, this sport, I'm not going to be able to partake in this for the rest of my life. I don't want to. I got sick of waking up every morning in pain, and, you know, it was to the point where I couldn't, if I left something in my car and I had to jog back across the road to grab it out, I was just so painful, like, jogging across the road with my knees. It's like, what quality of life is this outside of being, quote unquote, like, incredibly fit in the gym, you know? And that's where I kind of made the decision. I don't know, like, I want to start to really forward, like, think to what I'm going to do with my successes as an athlete when I no longer am able to or want to be an athlete.
I think that's a really interesting point, because there's so many people out there whose end goal is to make the CrossFit Games, right? Like, you meet them all the time. They want to be you. They want to be like you. And they don't hear the other side of it, that, man, it takes a toll and you got to be ready for it.
It does, but at the same time, it's incredible. I mean, I still want to make the CrossFit Games again. You know, it beat me up so bad and like, you know, ran me down for the time to come afterwards. But, you know, this year, I still want to make it back there. But I think, you know, I only want to do it when I feel like I'm 26, so I'm still young enough that I think that even if I were to do it for a couple more years, I'm going to be able to get my body in check and whatever afterwards ongoing. But yeah, I guess it was just an eye-opener, because after last year's games, you know, my first time going there, I was just so fired up from having made the games that there was nothing in my head except, make the games again. You know, this was, that was everything and anything, and I was just kind of like riding a high from that experience for so long. And then this year, when that experience kind of, you know, same again, I rode that high right up until the point where I realized I think it was like heavy DT after Murph, and I'd done DT at 225 a month before the games and finished it in like 10 minutes. And then at 205, I was like, I'm going to rip through this. This is a great workout for me. Second round, I started failing reps. I was like, whoa, something's like wrong with my body. There's something happening. Why is this happening? This shouldn't be happening. And then I kind of realized as I kept failing reps, and I finished 3.5 rounds in 12 minutes. I was like, okay, like, shit can go wrong. Like, things don't always go to plan.
Right.
So then I kind of was, yeah, after that, you know, you got to come up with a contingency here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, man, you're 26. Ben and I are both 33. We're still competing. Your body will feel better, but you got to be smart about it. And like you said, like, taking that time off back half of last year was smart, and now you're feeling good again.
Yeah, that's it. I think blessing in disguise that I wasn't able to train as much, and that I traveled right from after the games right up until mid-October. So, you know, I enjoyed being overseas. Like, pretty much living in New York City. Like, my best mate was living there as well. We were going out like 2-3 times a week. No, we
had
a sick
apologies
time.
For the interruption, but who is coaching at your gym?
I have a great coaching staff in my gym. Yeah, I have a group of like 4 people at the gym that sort of coach and manage it. I do all the programming and am pretty much at the gym all day every day when I'm in Australia. But the guys that effectively run the gym, I say I run it, but they keep it afloat when I'm away. Yeah.
So how are you preparing for the games this year, right? Like, I mean, with the load, I guess, you know, on the body, and also trying to make sure you improve so you can improve your position at the games.
So I think, like I said, I've been pretty time poor over the last few months. So my training volume day in and day out hasn't been anywhere near the same amount. I mean, I've just been training rather than following a program or like having a coach write my workouts. I've been doing all my own programming and effectively doing it on a day-by-day basis by how my body feels. If I walk into the gym and my knees are sore, I'm not going to include anything that I know is going to continue to jack them up, but I'm going to come up with, you know, a solid hour to 90 minutes of work that I can still get through that's going to work around whatever feels bad that day. As long as I kind of hit, you know, follow some sort of structure with my lifting and keep improving that. And I just focus on, I've always focused on my weaknesses. I just kind of round myself out as much as possible. And yeah, I guess that's just still the thing. If I'm, you know, if something's sore, what's a weakness that I can still work on that day? And, you know, it can be as simple as I suck at static holds. Just do, you know, an hour of EMOM with static holds on it. So, yeah, always just find a way to work around whatever's sore and fit into whatever time frame that I've got. And, yeah, focus with a priority on my weaknesses.
Are you pretty excited for this swim workout we're going to do today?
Yes, I like to swim. it's probably the one that I've been looking forward to the most.
Yeah, me too, man. And they got this island built. If you guys don't get to see it on the live stream, it's the first time I've ever seen a floating rig.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah, great idea. Huge rig out there with the handstand push-ups. Plexiglass, and I don't know, they'll probably get 20 people on there at a time.
Yeah, but since we come every year, I'm kind of worried next year he's going to drag it out a little further.
And that would be good. The 50 meter swim is kind of,
yeah, that looks like you could probably dive and glide out to that platform.
He did that for me, I think.
He did that for you.
Yeah, he totally did that for me.
Alright, well, I think that's about all the time we got. Con, if people aren't following you already on social media, where can they find you?
My Instagram's at IamConPorter, Facebook.com/IamConPorter, or my website is www.IamConPorter.com.
And if you guys try to find Con out in the world, chances are either at a pub or
at a bar or a gym
or a tattoo parlor.
Yeah, every now and again.
Alright guys, thanks for listening.
Thanks guys.